Who's it? Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and as I always say, children of all ages, welcome to another Wim Hof Wednesday. Episode number 19, coming live from where? Her van. I love this story. I can't wait for you to hear it. Today we have Brittany, forgive me if I pronounce it wrong, Lillegard. Did I pronounce it right?
It works.
Lillegard. So Brittany Lillegard, she has over 10 years of experience in the health and wellness industry, having been a gym owner herself and also an instructor in different fields. She'll go over with you today. She has extensive experience with a wide range of clients in multiple of settings. I mean, speaking to her and knowing her knowledge and her wisdom gave me so much power to empower me to actually learn more about what we're doing as instructors. So after 10 years, she's going to be giving us some inside scoops that are going to be beneficial to us. In the moment, she's living in a van, but she used to travel around a lot, having lived in New Zealand, India, and Netherlands. And that doesn't go to say that those experiences are great, but now she has the love of her life named Polly, which I hope she talks a little bit about. So everyone, please unmute yourself, because right now you may be muted. And as I always say, get your right hand and get your left hand and just bang them together for Brittany. Brittany, welcome here to the Wim Hof Wednesday. We're so honored to have you.
Thank you. I'm super excited to be here. And yeah, just really grateful for the opportunity to share my experiences.
Yeah, we're honored. I mean, a few months ago, you know how we all were waiting to be Wim Hof instructors forever? Well, I called her out. Well, I messaged her because a mutual friend did a breathing session with her, and she was so willing to share a little bit about what she's going to share with you all today about authentic voice. And I don't want to take away your thunder, but what could you share with us that you hope that can stick with us for not only a couple of months, but maybe for a lifetime when it comes to our authentic voice?
Yeah, I think so. One of the opportunities I've had, which has been really cool, is I spent a year in India teaching future yoga teachers anatomy, but also skills that would help enhance the art of teaching. And it was always so funny to me because during their first practical, so the first time that they would always teach their first snippet of a yoga class, almost always, every single one of them would have a certain teacher from the teaching staff, and they would try to replicate their style. And it would always come across so awkwardly. And it's how we learn. So it's not to say that it's a bad thing, but it really solidified in my head and in my space that finding your own voice, finding your own way to say things, finding the words that really connect with you and sharing those words with people can be super, super, super valuable and help you connect with your students more. So for an example that most of you probably understand a bit more, I think all of us in our advanced weekends especially had at least one person when they did their breathwork session that tried to present themselves the exact way that Wim presents himself. And, you know, it just doesn't read the same way. You know, Wim has this intensity about him that is beautiful and passionate and filled with love. But oftentimes when other people try to replicate that intensity, it comes across as aggressive, actually. Because for most people, there's just something innate in Wim that is not necessarily innate in us. So it's one of the things that's really important to me is helping people figure out how can you express things in the way that really truly is like innate to your core values and how you express yourself. And really, that's how you find the students that resonate with you. And I think this was something that we discussed in a lot of detail during this call you mentioned. you won't ever be the teacher for everyone. I think this is also something that is a hard reality when you first start teaching anything or holding space for people. It is impossible for you to serve the entire world with what your gifts are. But what's beautiful about that is that the people you do serve, you serve very, 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 very well. And you serve them the best when you're really teaching from your core. So that's why this is a topic that I'm super excited to just share and get people thinking about. Because it helps you deliver a better product to the people that you are supposed to be their teacher. So yeah, hopefully I explained that well. I think you're still muted there.
That reminds me of our conversation. So I'm going to be completely vulnerable and honest with everyone. When I first guided my friend, who happens to be someone who met Brittany in Portugal, coincidentally, years later, I guided her similar to Wim, because Wim was the only role model I had at the time. This is before I even became an instructor. And I remember just doing what I only knew, which was Wim's voice. And this is so embarrassing, but I was like, let's go, Fulian! Let it go. Yeah. That's it, Aklan. And I remember my friend, who Brittany knows really well as well, she's a beautiful soul, sensitive and calm. And she stopped doing the breathing. And it was only two participants, her and her boyfriend. And I really thought I turned her off to the Wim Hof method forever. And she met Brittany. And I said, how was this session with Brittany? Not that I was competing, but she said, Brittany and I just relate, and her voice resonated with me and it worked. And when I spoke to you, Brittany, you even said it. She goes, not everyone wants to hear Wim's intensity. Not everyone wants to hear Wim's copycat intensity. But there are people who genuinely want to hear your authentic voice. So if you don't mind me asking, how did you develop yours? And yeah, because I'm sure you had a beginning, not similar to mine, I hope, but similar enough to know that you knew that you were taking your first steps as a, let's say, a guiding meditative breathwork facilitator.
Yeah, you know, honestly, practice and reflection. And I know that might sound like a cop-out answer. You will make mistakes, but being open to experiencing awkwardness and what you give for people, and being open to reflecting on that, and being open to saying, you know what, when these words came out of my mouth, they didn't sound so great. Maybe they sounded great coming out of another instructor's mouth. But when they came out of mine, and you'll know, like if you, you know, as a yoga instructor, myself, I'll be in someone else's yoga class, and sometimes they use these cues and I'm like, oh my God, that's beautiful. Like, what an epic way to explain that. And then I'll try and do it myself in a yoga class, and sometimes it works. And sometimes, like, literally as it's coming out my mouth, I'm like, God, never use that again. That belongs to that person. It does not belong to you. So that's not to say that you also can't draw inspiration from people, but it's a willingness to trial and error and to keep what sticks and to let go what doesn't. And to also ask your participants, you know, and, you know, they have a lot of insights that they can give to you, but also being willing to understand that, again, you will not be the instructor for everyone. So someone may come to you and they may not have a fulfilling or nourishing experience, and they might give you feedback that doesn't resonate with you. And it could be not that what you did or what you have to give other people needs to change. It's just simply you're not the teacher for that person. And oftentimes when you feel feedback from people, you can feel and you can understand, especially with the more you practice, what really needs to sit with you and what is, because, you know, maybe a different teacher is better for that person. Yeah.
No, that was really well said. And I'm sure that most of us already felt that feeling. I had a gentleman who said that he's like, I never experienced this so slowly, because since my first time doing that with Daria, I have developed my own style that fits with my heart, that lines up with my feelings. And he said, yeah, I never had that experience so slow. And I said, well, just be honest. What did you feel about it? He goes, it was nice to try something different. However, I realized, and we both realized, we weren't a match. It's easy to say, but how do you, like, I didn't take it personally, but how do you not take it personal if you only have three people in a room and you're, let's say, one out of three don't like it because it's not there? How would you tell someone that's still getting into this? Because this is, a lot of new instructors are going to be listening to this. How do you tell them, hey, don't stress it and it's all good? What would you say?
You know, anytime you can reflect on your own experiences, it helps, right? So if you've ever been in any sort of, especially group service-based anything, so whether that's a meditation class, a yoga class, a group fitness class, it could even be like anything else educational. Like maybe you took a course with someone. Everyone has an experience where they've been in some sort of led or educational setting where other people had a great time. And for whatever reason, you left feeling, maybe that wasn't for me.
Right.
And so when you can start to reflect on like your external experiences and look at those and be like, you know what, that instructor obviously wasn't bad, but for whatever reason, the way they taught was not for me. That helps you understand how other people are going to feel in that situation. So yeah, just taking some time to reflect on instances where you've experienced that yourself is really, really valuable and powerful in helping you accept it when it happens to you as well. And also, again, practice, repetition. You know, we all are in this space because we want to give so much of ourselves. It is very hard when you're giving yourself to people to not take things personally. But the more it happens, the less it stings, truly. And you just start to realize that, like, you know, for me now, and when I first got into the industry, I would have been gutted if someone told me they didn't like my style, or they couldn't understand the cues I was given, or I was too soft. My style tends to be fairly soft. I would have been gutted. But now I actually am incredibly grateful, and I have so much gratitude for them for being honest. Yeah. Because that's how I can help them better. If they come to me and they say, you know what, that was too gentle or too soft or whatever, I can say, hey, you know, I actually have this friend and their style is a lot different from mine. And I think maybe you would have a better experience, maybe if you check them out, you know. And that also really is helpful for the community as a whole. It's a great way for us to support each other. It's a great way to build even more trust with all of your students and clients as well. When you are willing to say, hey, I didn't do it for you, but I have another option that might be worth trying.
That's awesome. Really powerful, powerful advice that you basically said. Before you take it personal, try to remember a moment where you went to an event or a breath session or yoga session and you realize, hey, that's not really my thing. It's something personal. It's just their ingredients, their flavors didn't match up with your taste buds. And that's okay. That's not, but it, like you said, in the beginning, we're just fresh out the kitchen. We're fresh out of the oven and we want to go and give our hearts. And then our hearts get a little bruised because of these possible words. Like, yeah, you were a little confusing. Like, I didn't know if I was supposed to breathe in. You said something about breathe out any hole. So I was trying to breathe out of all my holes. You know how Wim Hof says that. But my point is that you people are not going to, not everyone is going to be lined up with your style, and that's okay. Developing your style, you said reflection, which I hope anyone could take that as a huge takeaway. Would you recommend any way to reflect? Would you say record and listen, or would you say take a, like, what would you do after a session to reflect? What is your process?
Yeah, I am a huge fan of trying not to overanalyze things. This is very challenging for me. I actually come from a strong analytical background. I used to be a data analyst. I studied engineering. I have a math degree. I like to overanalyze things. but when it comes to giving yourself to people, it is all about feeling and intuition. And so, you know, yes, if you really feel the need or urge to record a session and go back, maybe do that once or twice, but I wouldn't get to the point to where you start to get dependent on needing that crutch. But yeah, I would just say, like, literally sit with yourself in meditation afterwards. If that's comfortable with you, sit with your breath, right? I mean, this is what we're working with. This is what we're teaching. Your breath gives you so much feedback. After the session, if you literally just sit, close your eyes for 2 seconds, take a couple of deep breaths, ask yourself, how did that feel for me? Your breath's going to tell you. It's either going to get all caught up in your chest and stuck and like, okay, you know, I got overexcited and I needed to slow down. And I think maybe I didn't explain things as clearly as I could have, and that just didn't feel good. Or it's going to sit there and it's going to sit in a different part of your body. And you're literally going to say, you know what? That was good for me. That was good for me. So I want to repeat this. But yeah, so I would say use what we teach, would be a great starting point. Check in with your breath, ask it, you know, hey, yo, how did we do today?
Thank you. That's honestly, I never thought about that style, but I definitely would use that for myself and anyone else who's listening, who's here. You know, that's, if we don't reflect, we're just going to be repeating a lot of what we're doing, right or wrong, but at least knowing that personally can help a lot. The title of your talk, or our podcast today, is Developing Your Own Style and the Importance of Authenticity. We already touched on both of them, but authenticity is a beautiful word, and we want to be pure at heart, right? We're giving ourselves. I mean, how would you recommend to be authentic, other than the repetitions and other than practice and reflection? Because you said that's developing our style, but how can we stay authentic no matter what?
Yeah, you know, one thing that's been really valuable for me, especially in the last year or so, has been understanding my own core values and checking in with those. So I actually, it was almost 2 years ago now, I did a very in-depth integration workshop. And that workshop was catered towards the psychedelic experience, but really everything we did is applicable to any experience where you're giving people space for inner work, transformation, self-reflection, which breathwork obviously is a powerful tool for. And one of the exercises that we did, which it sounds too simple and it sounds morbid, but it was incredibly powerful for figuring out what your core values are. And it was a 2-part exercise. And the first part was, if you were to die today, being brutally, brutally, brutally honest, what would you read about yourself at your own funeral? And be brutally honest. The second part was, cool. You've given yourself 50 more years to live, and you've lived a way that you're proud of. What would someone read about you at your funeral? And then afterwards, you actually compare these, and it's so easy. These couple of words will pop out where literally you're like, oh my God, that thing is so incredibly important to me. So for me, those words were simplicity, playfulness, eco-centered, and connection. And that is what, to this day, since I've had that workshop, every large decision I make, I check in with those words. How does that feel? I live in my van. It doesn't get much more simple than that, truly. It's playful. It's insanely playful, actually. I love it. I get to park my van out in nature almost every night when I sleep. It is so phenomenal. Like, literally, the view out my window is just like, mama, you know? Mama. It's powerful. And those are the words that also come through in my style, whether I am coaching someone in kettlebells, whether I'm coaching someone in yoga, whether I'm leading a breathwork session or an ice bath. It's keeping it simple. It's giving people a sense of playfulness. And there's always some sort of thread to nature and holding space for people to connect with themselves, with others, and with nature. Those are the things that are most important to me, and they guide every element of everything I do, including my style and my voice. So yeah, that's the tip I could give, is like, really take some time, whether you do the morbid exercise I shared or not, finding ways to really say what 4 to 7 words encapsulate the values that I really truly find most important in this world. And if you incorporate those into your teachings, you're going to be a damn excellent facilitator.
That's awesome. I actually love that so much. I had to write that down. I'm going to do this exercise afterwards.
And I'm going to send it to you. And then you have to tell me what core values come out of it.
I'm definitely going to send it to you. No, seriously, that's super powerful, valuable. And I bet any money that everyone listening was going over, I mean, listening to you at the same time, but going over those values that they're thinking of it. What's my 4 words? So super powerful answer. And if you're okay with it, we can move on to Q&As, whether you want to ask Brittany about her 10 years of developing her authenticity and her own style, or about her van life, or about what I loved is how word of mouth, when I had a conversation where she shared so much wisdom about word of mouth being the major player in marketing, and Instagram and YouTube and all that is great, and your website is beautiful, but word of mouth is where it's at. So I'll leave it open for questions, but yeah, I would like to bring that back before we end about word of mouth. Sure. Got OD and Sandra, Chris, Christian, Pavla, Flo, Bernard. Throw some questions out here. Got Brittany live in living color with the cool ass shirt, by the way. Let me borrow it.
Oh, thank you.
It fits that theme so ideally. But guys, throw out some questions here. I know that some of you are muted or hiding your pretty faces.
I'm really curious about this word of mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, so this was, Francesco had thrown out a question to me. How do you find your people? How do you get people in your workshops? How do you get people to come to your classes or become clients? Initially, from the start, you will have to do traditional marketing techniques. What I found in my 10 years experience, and just to give you a little bit more color of my background, I actually started in the health and wellness space as a personal trainer. And for the first 6 months or so, I had to do outreach. I had to market myself. I had to be forward. I had to, if I'm at a dinner party and someone's talking about this cranky knee they have, be like, hey, I might be able to help you with that. Do you want to talk? Here's my business card. From there, it's literally just providing a really, really, really good service to your clients, and your clients will start to talk. Truly, they'll come out of a breathwork session. They'll do an ice bath, never thinking that they've ever been able to do an ice bath ever. And, they'll be so hyped on it that they start to talk and tell people. Now, if they're talking and telling people, you need to make it easy for them to share your stuff. So things like having an Instagram or a website do become helpful, and they are valuable in that sense. But really, truly, like, spoil the crap out of the first however many clients, students, group classes you have, and people will just naturally start to talk. And then the other thing that feels weird initially. Feels super weird goes a really long way, is to ask people to share. So when you are starting out as well, if people come to your first few workshops, literally at the end of the workshop, just say to them, hey, if you got value out of this, if you enjoyed this experience, if it felt good, I'm doing another workshop a couple weeks from now. Would you mind telling your friends about it? People will, especially if you ask them to, and especially if they've had a good experience. And, you know, a good example of this is, you know, Francesco's friend that he's talked about, which I have to commend you for sharing your story and being open and vulnerable and saying, hey, I had someone in my class that didn't have a good experience. That is vulnerable, and it takes a lot of guts to admit that. But this particular person loves my breathwork sessions, loves. And anytime I've asked for anything, anytime I've asked for, can I have testimonials? Can you share with your community? She's literally the first person jumping up and down like, girl, I got you covered. Like, this was so transformational for me. I want to tell everyone. And people trust their friends more than they trust you or your marketing. So yeah, it's just really, truly do a good job right out of the gate. Spoil your first clients and your students and ask them to share, and they will. And then really, truly, things start to run on autopilot. Things are just referral based. And that is the best thing. That's the best spot you want to be in.
That I had to type that down. People trust their friends more than they trust your marketing. Yeah. And I think trust is what it comes down to, right? I'm not going to just jump in ice if I don't trust you, if I didn't hear about it. You know, it's obviously some of us would do that, and we have, but this connection, word of mouth, I really, really felt so much at ease after hearing your advice that I just want to over deliver. And yes, maybe I'm not profiting a lot during my first few events, but I'm seeing people smile, and then they say, hey, when is the next one? Right out, wow, we're still in the same session. And yeah. And I'm not good at having follow-up. You know, I know the date. I'm like, oh, I'll let you know. I'll send you a message. But they want to know so then they can bring their friend or their mom or whoever, their partner. So that's really, really powerful advice. And some of them will actually come back and do it again. I've heard so many people say they had repeat people coming to their fundamentals. So yeah, whoever, like for the new instructors listening to this, you know, this is really valuable advice. Being authentic and word of mouth, this is what will not only be your beginning, but could also be your whole ride. If you're banking on word of mouth, why not? But you do have an Instagram and you do promote yourself there. So do you, and by the way, I highly recommend following her because her van life is so much fun to watch, and seeing Polly grow up is also a wonder to watch. But you know, you're using it, and is it helping you, I guess, the social proof that, hey, I am an instructor, or I am a yoga instructor, I am a trainer? Does it help?
Yeah, I mean, so the thing with social media, people become customers off of social media, not because you put up a flyer that says, I'm hosting a Wim Hof Fundamentals workshop, come. You might get a handful of people that, you know, it hits them in that way. And they're like, hey, I have been wanting to go to a Wim Hof workshop. This happens to be in my area. Sold. Most people, though, come to your Wim Hof Fundamentals workshop after you've posted your flyer because they feel like they know you. So there's something in the marketing space called know, like, and trust. And for social media, that is actually the most valuable thing that you can do, is to get people to know, like, and trust you. And I will admit, it's something I've struggled with for myself personally. I manage social media accounts for a few companies, and I do really well with them. When it's for myself, my mind does tend to get in the way a lot. And again, a lot of it is, you know, when you're being that vulnerable, there will be people that don't find your content or yourself valuable for them, and they'll unfollow or they'll leave comments, and you have to learn how to not take that personally. But yeah, lately, you know, similarly to what I shared before, I have really been tapping into using my core values to guide what I share on social media, and it's had a huge payoff for me. So, you know, you can do all the courses you want. You can post every single day. You can hire someone to do your copy for you. Those things are great. But what's even greater is if you show up on social media as yourself and let people get to know, like, and trust you. And that takes a while. You're building relationships with them. That's really what's going to give you the most bang for your buck out of social media. And it's hard. It's hard to be a human on technology. But yeah, that's really it. It really all comes down to who are you, and give that to people, no matter what the platform is and how it is.
Yeah. But it also comes back to being authentic, and it also comes back to developing your true voice. So it really, it's a full circle when it comes to this marketing, word of mouth. And when you stay true to yourself and you're able to express yourself on a digital device, right, and figure out how that works to the extent this the whole thing you said, no, like, what was it? No, like,
and trust.
And trust. Yeah, that to me is another reason to be real and authentic. But I think the vulnerable part, at least for me, I wouldn't say I'm struggling with it, but sometimes, like, what if my aunt sees this and she sees me saying, you know, you have to let go of what's holding you back and get into the ice. I don't want to see, she's going to scream at me in Italian. I mean, I'm all about vulnerability, but social media and the following you have, it does play a somewhat role, at least for me and for maybe the new instructors listening. How would we just say, hey, this is something you can leverage or don't leverage? What would you say in this situation?
Well, first of all, I just want to give a shout out to Sandra because she shared a few things in the chat. She shared a really nice statement, customers become your marketers, which is also a really nice way to phrase what we were talking about earlier. And then she also shared, and maybe Francesco, you can, I don't know if you do show notes, but maybe you can copy this link. But she also shared a resource for how to grow your business for free with word of mouth. So thank you for those. But one thing that I also want to give is, you also get to set your own boundaries on social media. So just because you can get more benefit out of it by showing up as yourself and expressing some vulnerability, you can do that without sharing your entire life on social media. And you can set boundaries. So it's a fine balance. But it's really about understanding what's comfortable for you. And again, some of it and what's going to help you with this is checking in with your breath. Like if you post something that you feel is vulnerable, you'll know it immediately if you're checking in with yourself. Like you'll have this moment where you're like, okay, maybe that was a little bit too much, right? And then you know, like, hey, guess what? You can delete it. Or next time, maybe you don't go that far. You know, maybe you share something and it's a bit too much, but instead of having that like panicky suck in breath, you've got that like, oh my God, I did it. Well, then go with that and go with that even more, you know? So like, again, bringing everything full circle and connecting it to what we teach and how we teach, your breath can be your guide as well as to whether or not what you're offering feel supportive for you, because it's also really important that you don't feel like you're oversharing yourself in an unhealthy way for the sake of trying to get customers. That's also not authentic.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, that's what I would say.
Yeah. It comes also to mind is intentionality. What are our intentions? Are we trying to get, I'm also thinking about myself. I'm sure many of us are thinking about our own situations. So I'm triggering these questions because am I doing this to get more customers or am I doing this to spread the word or both? And how we do it, I think that just shows our intentions. So checking in with our intentions too, with our breath, I think will help the breath be more at peace or at least aligned with what our values are. So, man, this is amazing. I feel like I'm in the van with you.
Like I just, you know, that's good that you feel like you're in the van with me. There's not really a lot of space for anyone else except for me and Polly. It gets real crowded real fast.
That's amazing, though. I'm so happy you're rocking and rolling with this dream, this simple, amazing life. But yeah, we have room for one more question.
I have a question.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey.
Okay, I didn't even think of the question exactly before saying, but wait, it's connected to somehow with all of the women out there, the instructors, right? The female instructors. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on how could we lead the movement of getting more instructors, female instructors, to the methods. Do you have any ideas or what can be done already now with the female instructors that we have? Just any thoughts, just brainstorming about that.
Yeah, so this is, thank you so much for this question. I really appreciate it. So to share a personal story, during my advanced weekend, when we were guiding each other in the ice bath, the person who was guiding me afterwards, who was a male, after I got out of the ice bath, literally comes up to me and he gets like all big and he is like towering over me and he's like, scream it out. And fortunately, I know myself, I've done a lot of work, but that was very triggering for me. And it's very triggering for me because I actually grew up in a very abusive household. So having someone, especially like a man, towering over me like that, was very uncomfortable. And a lot of what exists on the Wim Hof method, especially again, because of Wim's intensity, and I love Wim and his guidance, and his intensity is infused with love. And it's in a way that few people can hold this container of that much intensity with the type of compassion and love that he has. But a lot of people are drawn to the method. A lot of men especially are drawn to the method because of that intensity and because it resonates with them. It doesn't resonate with me. And in fact, it turns me off. And it can and has the potential to turn off people who also need a more gentle and feminine approach. And after that advanced weekend, I actually considered pulling out because my entire advanced weekend was actually it felt very aggressive in general. Everyone in the ice bath was screaming the entire weekend. Everyone, as they were guiding their breathwork sessions, were intense and raw. And I didn't pull out simply because I said there's a lot of opportunity here to hold space for people where this type of environment is triggering or too much. And I actually can add value by offering my gentle voice. So again, I think this like actually wraps up the conversation very well, because I think it comes back to, if you are being authentic to yourself, you will attract the right people who need the method to be presented in the package that you have to offer. And if all of us as instructors say, you know what, I'm going to teach this in the way that feels good for me, we are able to reach a much broader audience collectively. And so for the females, and this isn't even just females, there are some male instructors. Dower is a great experience or a great example of this. His style does really resonate with me. But just because Wim has this intensity doesn't mean that that's the only way to offer the method. Also, some women, and I also don't want to overgeneralize, some women like that intensity. So that's not to say that you're scaring off all women in general, but I really do think that that is part of the reason why the method and the client base tends to be more male dominated, because Wim has a very masculine energy, and that's going to attract masculine energy. So the more present those of us can be that have a more feminine approach, the more we'll start to pull in other people who have or want or seek or desire that same approach. And I think a lot of us instructors, we all decided to become instructors because the method resonated with us, and probably a specific teacher resonated with us, and it inspired us to go into it. So really, I think a lot of it is just do your thing, use your voice, be authentic, and you will inspire the right people who need it. And oftentimes that inspiration is this trickle that then leads that person whose life has been affected by you so powerfully to say, I want to do the same thing this woman offered for me. So hopefully that answered your question.
Yeah. What a great question. What an amazing response. And what a way to end this Wednesday. This has been so much fun. I know I'm speaking for everyone in here. How amazing that was. And the fact that you shared at the end also a lot about your life and your vulnerability, I think that shows, you know, that you came here with your whole heart. And I really, really appreciate that. When it comes to our future, I really hope that we do have a shift of more women, and we get to just understand that even I actually, when Sandra guided us in the master's module, that was one of my favorite guided sessions, because that's what I needed. And maybe that's what I needed just at that moment or for a continuous basis. But I think that's something to say about listening to, staying true to yourself and not just trying to deliver a product to a market, but being who you are. And there will be a market that wants to be a part of that. That's so beautifully said. You're amazing. Wow. So we are wrapping up. This is so much fun. I can't thank you enough. But I want everyone to please, please unmute yourself, because Brittany has not only given us her time, her attention, her love, her heart, but this insight and wisdom that not only the people are here going to take advantage of, but the people who are going to listen to it. And I think this week and next few weeks, we're going to have 300 new instructors. And to let them know that, hey, they're not alone, that we are all here for each other. So get your right hand, get your left hand. You know how it works. You bang it together. Thank you so much.
Woo. Thank you so much for giving me an open platform to share, and for everyone being such great listeners and asking such great questions. It really was a pleasure. So
yeah, everyone, you guys always make it out here to make this happen. And this is going to bring a lot of value out to so many people. So with that being said,
just to wrap up, sleeping, but there's Miss Polly.
That's your baby. That's your sidekick.
That is my baby.
But for real, thank you so much. Next week, we do have Mark Isaiah. He's going to be bringing some insight of his years as an instructor. He's so excited about sharing. I'm not going to tell you what. I just want you guys to come back next week, because he really, really cares about his topic. But you're going to find out soon what it is. Again, Brittany, thank you. Everyone here to make it. Chris, I can't thank you enough for making it out here. Tell your instructors to be too, even though you are already an instructor. Tell the other instructors to be, to come out to these Wednesdays, same time, same place, where we can collaborate, unite, and just be a part of our family. I know it's digital, but at least it's still being together. With that being said, thank you guys. And I hope to see you next week. Thank you, Brittany.
Ciao, ciao.
Thank you guys. Bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao, everybody.
Thank you. Bye. Ciao.